Greetings and welcome to Season 3 of the TCT Artist Exchange. Things are changing really fast in the landscapes of music, art, and culture these days, and a lot has happened since the end of our Season 2. Hopefully, on Season 3 of this program, we are able to shine a bright light on many of the amazing musical artists and their vast array of styles and current contribution. We'll be featuring exciting new artists that bring a fresh and different splash with their musical visions, and we will, of course, continue bringing you the vibe of traditional and established artists. And as always, we'll sprinkle in the fun stuff of games and challenges. So we've got some work to do. So let's get that work started. Come on in as we open up the first window of Season 3 here on the TCT Artist Exchange.
Rob Aries, Steve Ferroni. I was 14 years old. It was summertime. Just getting ready to start high school, after summer. And the Beatles had just come out. And my brother and our friend Jody, around the corner, we were going to the swimming pool. We used to go to the high school swimming pool because that's where all the girls were. And we walked through this department store and we saw these t-shirts that were really popular with all the young men. They were high-collared, tight t-shirts and all these sort of nice pastel colors. And all the young men were wearing them. We got the bright idea that we would go into the dressing room and put on three of them and put our shirt over it and walk out. And we got caught walking out. The manager was waiting right there, had a really short crown career. And my dad came down and made us apologize to the store manager and then took us home. He gave us a notebook and he said, "You're going to fill this with why you're never going to steal again as long as you live. And while you're in that bedroom, you better think of something that's going to keep you out of trouble this summer or you're never coming out of there." And like I say, the Beatles had just come out and we said, "We want to play music, Dad." And he said, "Get in the car." And we got in the car and we drove to this place called Allegro Music in Fremont, California, near our house. And all the instruments were on the wall. You know, they had a snare drum up there and a guitar and a saxophone. And I chose the saxophone and my brother chose the drums because my father was a bartender and he worked in these places called show bars. And they had what was called at the time show bands, bands with names like the Big Beats and the Swingin' Lads. And, you know, they played stuff like Honky Tonk and Harlem Nocturne and Gigolo and Night Train. They had horns and everybody, some guys would play trumpet and sax, some guys would play clarinet and saxophone. And, you know, they all sang and they were really, really cool. You know, and we used to love going to pick my dad up in the afternoon when he was getting off while they were rehearsing. And we'd sit there and watch, you know, me and my brother, we'd watch the band. And I always thought the sax player was the coolest guy, you know. So that's why I chose the sax. And my brother, he thought the drummer was the coolest guy, so he chose the drums. And we left that store and went home with a rented saxophone and a rented set of drums. And we started the band that day. We actually... Jody, our other friend who got caught stealing, had gotten a guitar in Mexico. He had just come back from a vacation in Mexico and gotten a guitar. And he knew how to play the intro to Pretty Woman by Roy Orbison. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. And he knew only that, none of the rest of the song. So he would play that, and, you know, if you listen to the record, after he plays the line, then the snare comes in, hitting all four on the snare drum. And I was just there squeaking on my saxophone. And my mother came in and she said, "They're going to be huge stars." And I've had a band ever since that day.
Tonight the place will be bumping, so you better bring it down. No.
It's probably impossible to try to remember everything you were taught in school. Now, me personally, I find it difficult to recall things that I learned in any given year, much less my entire educational exodus. But I must have learned something during my time in school. It would be a little unnerving to think that I might have ruined the career of every instructor I ever had. No. I have to say that they all did their jobs, even when I didn't hold up my end. But as good as they were, most of my school teachers weren't part of the struggles I would find myself in trying to learn all the things that they don't teach in school. Now, that's the real challenge. And that's today's challenge. We're calling it, They Don't Teach This. Joining us on this challenge are two contestants. One is an elementary school teacher in New Jersey named Tanya. And her challenger is Lamar, a retired trucking company owner. So if they're ready, let's play They Don't Teach This. Ladies, welcome to the show. And thanks for joining us on the They Don't Teach This challenge. So we're going to start this challenge by asking the first question to our elementary school teacher, Tanya. Tanya, can a person make their teeth whiter by smiling for a long time at the sun? Is that possible?
That sounds insane. I would say no.
You're absolutely correct. That's a no. Lamar, here is your first question. What's the most common excuse for being late to work? It really depends on who you are, right?
Okay.
The most common excuse.
How you position, and how you position yourself.
Yeah.
You can just walk in like you've been there all day. I know I had a driver at one time, and his grandmother died every 3 months.
So, yeah, if you use the same excuse over and over again, it would be the most common.
I'm trying to think. Traffic.
Traffic is the number one excuse people use in being late for work. Very good. Tanya, your next question. Question number two. Can you pass out while you're sleeping?
I would say
did you pass out on me?
Possible.
You got silent.
I was thinking about that. I'm sure it's possible. I think it's got to be possible.
Oh, science says no, it isn't possible. And I would think
why
it's
not?
Possible to... Well, when I started to ask them, they passed out. You know, there has to be more to it than just being asleep.
You know, because, like, people will pass away in their sleep. And, like, I would think...
It seems to me that when you're asleep, you're passed out.
You're passed out. Well, we say that all the time here.
Exactly.
But I've passed out before. I remember, like, I was kneeling for a really long time. They were at church. And they were doing this long prayer, and I was like, it got really hot because people started to come up, and like there were so many people around me. I just got overheated. Okay. So I got up, and I think I must have gotten up too quickly.
Took two steps,
and boom, next thing I know, I was waking up sitting in a wheelchair in the back office. With no recollection of what happened. So I wonder if that, I guess, it was like being asleep, like you just woke up.
Now, that's a common occurrence in churches everywhere, and I've often wondered, when that does happen, the very next week, are there more or less people in the congregation? Lamar, here's your next question. What is the maximum height that a human being has fallen from without a parachute and survived?
The maximum height that someone would fall from and survive?
Yeah, well, the maximum height
I would say the second floor.
The second floor. Okay, what is that about?
If you survive, I mean, no, seriously.
25, 30 feet, something like that.
Well, I think you could, I would say 50.
50 feet?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good answer. There was a woman that she was a flight attendant on a plane. Okay. She was from Serbia, on some type of Serbian Airlines plane, and there was a bomb on it, and it blew up, blew the plane up. She fell 6 miles and survived 33,000 feet, which is 6 miles up. She fell from that distance and survived.
I'm sorry, but did she fall or did she jump?
No, it was an explosion. The bomb went off, you know, unexpected. And
she survived.
And she survived. The story has it that she landed on a bunch of hay.
Wow.
6 miles.
That is amazing.
I kind of wonder what goes on in your mind during a 6 mile fall. Do you start thinking things like, hey, did I leave the oven on? Or do you start wondering who you can call? Or you're looking for places that you're going to land? Well, at least you know whatever happens, you're never going to get on a plane again. Okay, Tanya, for your next one, we need you to solve a riddle. In this riddle, I'm looking for an object, okay? And with this object, you throw away the outside and you cook the inside. Then you eat the outside and throw away the inside. What is it that you just ate?
Oh my God, I know I've heard this before. Oh, what was it?
You throw away the outside.
I know it. I heard this before. Oh, it's corn. It's corn.
It's an ear of
you
corn.
You shuck corn. You put, yes.
Exactly right.
Yes.
So what's the process? You shuck the corn. And
shuck the corn. You know, we'll cook the corn. And then we eat the outside, the kernels of the corn, and then we throw away the core of it.
Perfect. That is a perfect answer. Very good. Okay, Lamar, here we go. What day and what time represents the greatest risk for a couple in a relationship to fight?
I would say Tuesday.
You would say Tuesday? Why would you say Tuesday?
Tuesday because the weekend is usually supposedly relaxing. And Monday you don't want to blow it. So Tuesday is open.
Okay.
And Wednesday, you know, that's hump day. So Tuesday available.
Yeah, okay. So nobody fights on hump day for obvious reasons.
Right, right.
Actually.
And the time I would think would be between 6 and 8.
Okay. Actually, it's Thursdays at around 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, but it seems to me that the reasoning would be it's getting close to the weekend and people.
Right, and everybody needs an excuse.
Yeah, exactly. So, Thursday's 8 o'clock, so keep your eye out, you know, when you see a couple getting at it.
I have not that problem.
Yeah, I know, but when you see a couple getting at it, check the day and time.
I go away.
Yeah.
No, that stuff is contagious. I know,
but check the day and time to see if it's on par.
If I remember, I will report.
I'm pretty sure now that you heard this question, you know, it's going to strike out to you if someone gets into it. You see that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I'll be sure to check the day.
I know. And,
I see a couple.
That's best. When you see a lot of people in the club over the weekend and they got into it on Thursday with their people.
And if I see a couple argue any other day, I will tell them, no, Thursday is the day.
Wait till Thursday. That's
it.
Right.
Listen, cut this out. Y'all way ahead of schedule.
That's
We're
it.
Not ready.
That's it. Okay. Wow. Okay, Tanya, this question might help you in your tutoring of the young men that you teach. What percentage of men lower the toilet seat after using the toilet?
Zero. I haven't met one yet.
Wow.
God, dang it.
Okay. I don't even have a response for that.
Oh, goodness.
But there is an actual percentage.
Some of them never lifted to begin with.
I can imagine that this is women's like water cooler talk.
Yeah.
Jesus. Okay, and it's the type of thing men never mention when they talk to each other. But if you had to take a guess.
I'll say 50.
That's a
Am I being too generous?
You're being very generous.
Okay.
That's a different culture, 20, a different 25. Society. Still being generous.
Wow.
Be realistic. Jeez. Be realistic.
Realistic, I was thinking maybe 25%, but okay, maybe only 10%?
It's 5%.
Wow.
It's 5%.
Inconsiderate jerks. Now, next question. How many percentage of women have fallen in a toilet?
Oh, wow.
Didn't put the seat down?
That would be the other 95%. Okay, Lamar. If you were to weigh all the food that you eat in your lifetime, about how much would it weigh?
A ton.
Actually, it's 50 tons.
Well, I was close.
50 tons. Well, I guess you were a mere 49 tons off. I guess that's close by some standard.
I mean, I can't imagine.
Just the fact that it's going out of the realm of pounds into tons was surprising to me. Okay, Tanya. What is the actual color of the black box on the airplane?
It's not black.
Apparently not in flight. It's not. And that's interesting, isn't it? Black box is just
they call it black box. Is it? I'm trying to think, because if it goes down in the ocean, it should be readily or easily seen. Like, some, you know, they would want it to be seen. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think of what colors really stand out in like water and things like that. I've seen something about like bathing suits, and the color of bathing suits can matter whether you're in like a pool versus the ocean, like what you can see if your child like ends up, you know, in the pool. Orange or yellowish, maybe?
Yeah, exactly right. It's orange.
Yes.
Yeah. I would never have guessed that. I would have gone every other color, rainbow than orange. It just seems just too pastel to be of such scientific need. Why orange to something that is so essential in terms of determining data and information?
Yeah. Well, you think about the life vests. They're like yellows and oranges too, probably for the same reason. So if somebody's like flying overhead doing like a rescue, you can spot them easier.
You see, this is what happens when we get a school year. We go into it leaning toward having fun, and we come out of it with an education. It's good job, Tanya. All right, our final question goes to Lamar. Ready, Lamar? All right. What do you think is the historical reason why we shake hands with each other when we meet? Yeah, what is the historical reason why we shake hands with each other when we meet?
American reason? I mean, who culture?
Well, I take culture out the equation. I guess in the beginning, when folks first started shaking hands, this was the reason
why. I guess to let someone know that they're welcome or they're safe when you touch that.
Close, but it's actually to show that we're not concealing a weapon. Wow.
You mean if you have a badge?
To show that we're not concealing a weapon.
Wow, is that why it was initially started?
Well, I guess that's why there wasn't a whole lot of handshaking in the Wild West. Because everybody had guns. And we want to thank today's two contestants, Tanya and Lamar, for bringing their great spirit and all the fun to Why They Don't Teach This here on the TCT Artist Exchange. We heard some incredible music today on our season three opener. We heard from Brent Carter and friends open the show with a red hot version of the song Work to Do. We heard Inspirational Vibration from Emilio Castillo from Tower of Power, followed up by one of the Tower of Power songs called Sold Out. We brought back an oldie, but a goodie, with Al Jarreau's So Good. We got through an hysterical challenge of They Don't Teach This with the wonderful Tanya and Lamar. And we're going to close today's window with a song called Witness the Jazz. And we thank you for taking the time to listen. So come back soon. We'll be right here on the TCT Artist Exchange.
Sincerely deny that I did it on purpose. It was just my first try.
No one else can make me see the truth that lies within.